May God give us grace to do just that for me. We can sing the words, but am I looking actively to do that moment by moment? He who gave his all for me deserves all that I can give. I can never merit heaven, but I ought to have a thankful heart. I ought to have a thankful heart. Nothing ought to be too much for him. Well, pausing a little just to recap, and to do that, I want to use a story. I sent it on email to all the membership during the holiday. And the story is, I was relaxing in a hot tub and musing and thinking and looking at the sky. It was a lovely sunny day. And suddenly I began to think about this theme from Romans that we died with Christ. We were buried and we rose again to newness of life. And I was trying to just enjoy relaxing, but I had to get out, dry off, and write this little account. Now, I did send it on the email, but it concerns a cat that we owned called Joey. Now, when we moved into the farmhouse, we were conscious there were a number of mice running around, and the children weren't too keen on mice running around. To me, they're little fluffy things. They weren't too much trouble. But we thought to get rid of them, you buy a cat. So, forgotten who went. I think it was you didn't go, did you? It was you. You and Mum went to a cat rescue centre. And the task was to find a mouser, get a cat that'll come back and deal with the mice. So I had a phone call from Jill. We found a cat. And it's a ginger Tom. So very good. But then Jill said, oh, but there's another one here. She's called Mafanwy, and she's only got one eye, but I feel very sorry. Don't bring Mafanwy. No way. So she listened if she didn't. And we got Joy the cat, and he's a ginger Tom. But he was as scared of mice as the girls were. He was useless as a mouser. He quickly made it known he was quite an antisocial cat as well. He liked being out and about. He didn't like us. And for me, the feeling was pretty mutual, actually. He was pretty mangy. And in his old age, he started to really fail. Poor thing. He had fits when he would make a mess around the house. So in the end, Joey died. Okay? Joey died. He was useless, he didn't do the job he was meant to do, and he died. And I buried him at the bottom of the garden, quite deep, buried him. Now, we'd only just got Pip the dog, and Pip the dog quite liked Joy the cat, and they would hang out together. And the dog watched me bury the cat, and there it is at the bottom of the garden. And I thought, well, that's the end of Joy the cat. The cat is dead. Hooray, the cat is gone. I looked out of the window a few days later, and there on the lawn was the cat. And sadly, the dog, reminiscing of good old times with Joy, dug in the spot where we buried it, found the cat, and pulled the cat out. But Joy wasn't the same old fun that he used to be, and so the dog left the cat on the lawn. I won't go into the details as to what he looked like at that particular stage, but I got a spade and I put him back in the hole. I filled the hole back in and I covered it with solid slabs. And those slabs are there today, quite near the trampoline children, okay? So that's where Joey the cat is. And dead and gone and not seen since. Now, to recap something on Romans tonight, there's a great, great truth here. See, I was born the 29th of April, 1957. In a real sense, the Bible tells me I died on the 4th of August, 1976. Very memorable to me. It comes back crystal clear. Now, I was as shocked as anybody, but something happened to me. And I've learned subsequently I died. I was buried that day. The 4th of August, 1976. But then, gloriously, I read, and I was conscious of it. Something had happened. I was raised again on the 4th of August, 1976. And it's Romans chapter 6 that tells me about this. Romans 6 and verse 3. Remember, these chapters are all about assurance. How do I know I am saved? Well, something's happened to me, and God did it in Christ for me. Romans 6, verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him. Now, we can apply this to water baptism, and certainly we can. But I don't believe it's talking primarily about water baptism here. It's talking about an initiation into Christ. I wasn't baptized in water on the 4th of August 1976. I was baptized into Christ. I died with him. I was buried with him. I was risen again with him. Now, what's going to happen next Sunday morning, God willing, is that Jake and Sam will act out that spiritual truth with real water, and they'll obey a command to be baptized. But what happened to me and what's happened to every true believer is that that moment we believed, we died with Christ, we were buried, and we were raised again. Now, how did it happen? How did I die? How was I raised? I love this phrase here in verse 4, newness of life. Remember, we had a little series on newness of life. It's not new life. The Bible doesn't say new life. It doesn't actually use this word. It seems a very strange word. Or the newness of it all. That first pop of the coffee lid. The fresh baked bread. That new car smell. Wonderful. But they soon fade. It shouldn't fade with me. It shouldn't fade with you. Always ought to be that freshness about you and I. Now, how does it happen? How did I die? How was I buried? How was I raised? Well, it certainly wasn't through religion. Religion could do nothing for you and for me. It happens through the power of the gospel. Here it is, Romans 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This message, this irreducible minimum of truth is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And Paul goes on, inspired by the Spirit in Romans chapter 6, to tell us this. Things that we know. Look at Romans 6 and verse 6. We know. Now, this is the Greek word epignosis, which means knowledge. So, by reading, I can get knowledge. But it can be just A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Epignosis is a deeper knowledge. It's a knowledge that does something. It's not just academic, but it's a knowledge that pervades. And we know, says Paul, inspired by the Spirit, that our old self was crucified with him, Christ, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, that's obvious. If you're dead, you don't sin anymore. That person is dead. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Now, here's the conclusion. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Now, here's the application. See, you died with Christ, buried with him, raised to newness of life. Now, you need to consider. And the Greek word logizomai means to reckon. It's an accounting term. Reckon, consider, count yourselves, tell yourself. You are dead to sin, that's gone, and you are alive to God in Jesus Christ, dead. We were crucified with Christ, we're dead, We are buried. Now here's the point, and with joy the cat. Don't dig the old man up. Don't dig him up again. Dead and gone. Now, Romans goes on to answer an obvious question. If that old man really is dead and he's buried, why do I struggle with sin? Now I'm recapping. We've been through all these things. Why is he recapping? Because we need to be reminded of these things. Why do I still struggle with sin day in and day out? Well, Romans 7 is the answer to that. Remember Paul? Here he is, the great apostle Paul. All the good I would do, I find I don't do. The wrong things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Let me go through the truth as to why we struggle and then give an illustration of it. Let's look at some of the verses here. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 12 and 13. Why do I still struggle with sin? Let's just read these verses. Here's a command. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Now there's the daily struggle. Right? I am dead in Christ. The old man died, he's crucified, he's buried. Why then would these expressions be used? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Now, if anyone's a Christian here, they'll understand this struggle that goes on. If you're not converted, there's no struggle. You just do what you want. What's he talking about? What struggle? I quite enjoy sin. The Christian doesn't. And he knows the struggle, the passions. And verse 13, do not present your members, your body, to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. There's a little chorus that the children sing, I'm sure. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a father up above who's looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. So why the struggle? Why the temptation to go there on the internet? I thought the old man was dead and buried. Why still the temptation to watch that program? I'm flicking through the channels. It's late at night. You've got the zapper. And why pause there? Why? If he's dead, if he's buried, why pause there? Why the struggle? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a father up above who's looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Don't present the members of your body to unrighteousness. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful. Why these injunctions here in Romans chapter 6? Repeated throughout the Bible. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, saying something very, very similar, but putting it, I think, plainer and clearer. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. Put him off. And is corrupt through sinful desires. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off the old man. I thought he was dead. Put on the new man. I thought he was already there. What's all this about? If he's dead and buried, why the struggle with sin? Well, here it is. Let me explain it, then we'll look to illustrate it a little bit further. Although the old me is dead, he really is dead. Andy Christofides died on the 4th of August 1976. The old me. Although the old me is dead, and in fact a new me is in place, new life, the new man, the old man dead, the new man is in place. The expression of the old man hangs around. Right? His decorations are still around my soul and still influencing my body. The trinkets are still around and about. The old habits hang around like a bad smell. The memory can still remember the old man. The conscience can still be troubled by the things the old man did. The affections are still drawn to the things that the old man did. And the mind can still dwell on the old man. Let me bring out now the familiar hand illustration. Don't forget it, because it's very, very useful. Here I am, Andy Christofides. I'm 62 years old, and I have a body, and it's getting older. But dwelling in this body is an eternal soul that really is timeless. And that's the me, that's the real me. All right? The soul. And the soul is wonderful. There's the image of God. And the soul is eternal, but the body is in time. And still, I get a shock when I look in the mirror. Because I think of myself in my 20s. I do. And when I look in the mirror, I don't know who that person is. But sadly, it really is me. And but the soul. Imagine now that the soul is represented by my hand. It's quite a simple illustration. Now, my soul has got different faculties. It's my soul that thinks, it has a mind. It's my soul that likes, it has affections. My soul that remembers. It's not my nose or my toe that remembers things. It's my memory. It's my conscience that's affected by things. It's my will that makes decisions. So the mind, the will, the memory, the heart, and the conscience. These faculties and departments of the soul. Some theologians say there are more, but I think that those basic five are easy. But neither my mind, my heart, my will, my conscience, or my memory is me. See, the clue is then when I'm saying my mind, my heart, my conscience, my memory, my will. Well, who am I? Well, I'm here. I'm the person in the middle. I was the old man, I'm now the new man. I'm the ego, the I, the id. I'm the bit that controls the thinking. Now, in the old man, when the affections said, whoa, wahey, the old man said, wahey too, and off we went. And there were consequences, but we get over that because we were in it together. Very, very pally, very, very chummy. But on the 4th of August 1976, something happened. Now, initially, it happened quite independent of anything I did. God the Holy Spirit gives new life in a sovereign way, and he puts it here, in the center of my being, the ego, the I. Once that happens, my mind starts to think, woe is me. And my affections are drawn to better things. My conscience condemns me. My memory remembers those wrong things. And my will flees to Christ now, because the new man desires to follow God. But the old man did die. He's dead. He's gone. He's buried. But the expression hangs around. I still have a mind that remembers and thinks, and a memory, and all these particular areas. So here's what happens. The memory. This is why I have to be told to put off the expression of the old man. How do I do it? Oh, now I have power. Romans 8 tells us where this power comes from, God the Holy Spirit. But I've got to do it, because if I don't, he'll start to take over. He wants to live again. He wants to get dug up. You mustn't let him. Keep him buried. What happens is this, that the memory starts to think. It gets a bit nostalgic. You know, I've been a believer now for a few years, and maybe I've been missing out on things. The old guy wasn't so bad. Yeah, I really quite enjoyed doing that. In our idle moments, there's our danger, and let's fill our time with doing useful and good things and helpful things and focusing on Christ and meditating on him, because if we don't, other things start to take over. And as the memory thinks this, the affections start to be engaged and drawn. Yeah, actually the memory's quite right. That wasn't so bad. And the mind dwells on it, and the will goes and gets a spade and digs him up for old time's sake, for nostalgia. The Bible says don't do it. Don't do it. He was a scoundrel. Don't dig him up again. He's a wretch. Don't play with him. Despite his pleas, don't dig him up. And if you do, like Pip, you won't be impressed with him. As a believer, it just leaves a bad smell. It's terrible. Satan is quick to stir. He's happy. And he will show you the baits. Come and have a look at this. He's a great fisherman, is Satan. He shows you the bait, but he hides the hook. Like a dumb fish, we fall for it. Now, a fish sees the bait. There's a lovely, juicy worm, and he goes for it. He doesn't see the hook. If he did, he'd run a mile. But once he's taken the bait, then he's hooked. And he's reeled in. Don't go for the bait. Now, that's why these injunctions are here. He's not contradicting the fact the old man is dead. He really is. He died. He's gone. He's dead. He's buried. But the expression hangs around like a ghost, like a bad smell. The decorations are still up. Take them down. Things that remind you of the old man. Have a good spring clean. Clear out the house of your mind, and your mind will be affected by things that you see. So the things that have to go, be torn up, burnt. I remember in my initial zeal, I had a vast album collection, vinyls that would be worth a fortune now. I took them outside and played darts with them. I put them on the wall and threw bricks at them. It was great, great fun. I think it was excessive zeal. But some of those old tunes, they were coming back. Led Zeppelin. And some haunting tunes. Not helpful words, but unhelpful words sat to incredible melodies and tunes and beats. And I wasn't helpful. Wasn't helpful. So in the end, the lot went. Maybe that was excessive at the time. But it had to be cleared out for me at that stage. Because the old man loved those things. And the new man loves better things. So in came second chapter of Acts. That was a band at the time. And a boy called David, Barry Maguire, Keith Green, Randy Stonehill, Larry Norman, lots of these things started to come in, taking the place of those unworthy things. So I put off the old man. He was already dead, but it was the expression. And I put on the new man and began, under the power of God, to dwell on better things. Leave him in the grave. I'll tell you what, something else that can happen. As well as memory bringing up nostalgic affections, memory can bring up a sense of shame as well. Memory, and the devil will aggravate this. Remember what you did. Yeah, that's a shameful thing that you did. And you end up crippled with sorrow. How could I have done that to such and such a person? And we're crippled. And it's useless. And what you've done is, again, you've dug him up. Leave him in the grave. Leave him in the grave. Don't dig him up. Don't let conscience dig him up. Don't let affections dig him up. He really is gone. Don't let the devil tell you he's not. Now that great hymn, 766, we would have sung so many hymns tonight. My sin, all the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. But there's a real battle this side of glory. It's not the old man, he's dead, but it's the expression and the smell of the old man that's still hanging around. Well, the battle is very, very real. Well, what hope is there for me in the battle? There's every hope, because at the end of Romans 7, remember, Paul says this, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's Jesus who gets me through. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and his power in me. So now, the old man who went the way of the affections, the mind, the memory, the will, the conscience, now we have the new man. Now he desires better things, but still it's a real battle. What hope have I got? The power of God. The gospel is the power of God for salvation, not only to save me, but to keep me and to transform me. Once I die, there's a real powerful transformation going to take place. And this is the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in me. Oh, the gospel is glorious. Romans chapters 1 to 4 cover the gospel for us. I'm a sinner, deserving the wrath of God. Anybody here tonight not saved? How can a man or a woman or a child or a young person be saved? Not by religion. Sin is sinking us to hell. It's dragging us down. It's a vast black hole. And there's no escape from it. But Jesus Christ has a stronger attraction. His gravity is greater than any black hole. But they found some supermassive black hole structure at the center of the universe. And it's really woken up at the moment, and it's flashing a lot, and it's eating up stars that are passing by, having a real good gobble. Imagine a massive black hole just eating a star like our sun and bigger, and it's burping and it's throwing stuff out. How do I escape from sin? Oh, the magnetism of Jesus Christ. The beauty and the glory of Jesus Christ, the second person, the one triune God, who for my poor sake left the glory of heaven, didn't stop being God, but he became a man, one person, two natures, fully divine, fully human, not a half and a half, for he's neither one nor the other, not a mixture, or he's some new species. No, he remains fully God, he's also now fully man. What's he come to do? To take away my sin. It's dragging me to hell. He does it by living the perfect life I can never live. He does it on my behalf. And then he dies the death that I deserve. On Calvary, in my place, condemned, he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. And when I realize it, I can't but say, hallelujah, what a savior. Isn't Jesus Christ wonderful? Maybe too restrained. He really is what the word says. Full of wonder, the splendor of the King. How do I know it's all true? He rose again from the dead. How do I know he rose again from the dead? Well, many witnesses saw him and they write these accounts. How do I know they wrote the truth? They went to their graves declaring Jesus and the resurrection, and none of them recanted under pain of death. How do I know it's all true? Well, happened to me on the 4th of August 1976 in a church service, just seeing it all come together. Holy God, sinful me, Jesus Christ, the answer. So clear. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart, convinced of these things. His power in me. How do I now live the Christian life? Well, Romans 8 is opening this up to us. It is in the power of the Holy Spirit. 27 times he's mentioned in Romans chapter 8. It's his power in me. And by the power of God, I have the ability to walk in newness of life. I want to finish there tonight, really. The power to walk in newness of life. And keep that word in view. Newness. Not new. It is new. But newness is the word. Always fresh. If you see yourself or feel yourself going stale, look to Christ. Plead with God for a fresh vision of Jesus. Pray the prayer that William Williams prayed and wrote the hymn. Speak, I pray thee, gentle Jesus. If I lose reality, I'm back to religion. And the old man, his expression gets pretty powerful. Reading John Owen a lot over the summer, and he's got a stunning section on mortification of the flesh, this putting off the old man, putting on the new man. It's a process. Mortification is a process. It goes on as long as we're here. He says, the best way to mortify the flesh, and you get these lists from some people, do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do that, don't do that. It's not a do and don't list. It's one big positive. Know Christ. And he burns out the dross. You cannot mess with the old man and dig up the old man in the presence of him. So seek him and for reality and to know him. And it makes all the difference in the world. And I want you to challenge me. And I want you to know, oh, I wish I could be free to challenge you. Because it's obvious, isn't it, when we get smelly. But we don't like to say. Let's challenge each other on this. You don't seem as fresh as you really ought to be. And I feel I'm not myself. So what I hope Tuesday night will be for the men and increasingly for us as a fellowship. Reality. And I tell you, when reality's here, little things melt away.
What about that? Yeah, he's done that to me.
But he's done that for me. How can I mess around with this silly little thing? I'm offended. Well, you are you? Well, look what he bore. You're offended, are you? Shame. Shame on you. Shame on me. What a glorious God we have. With this newness of life, there's a lovely fragrance of Christ that comes. We don't want the smell of death around us. We want the smell of Christ. His power in me. Let's focus on the center of reality. Let's challenge each other. Let's not be ashamed to do that. And let's found to be responsive in these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a brief time again in your word. Thank you for this glorious book you've placed in your word, full of the gospel. Help us as we make progress. We think of this remarkable verse under your will we'll look at next week. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, of those who are called according to his purpose. We pray in our day and generation we might know what it is to truly walk in newness of life. Amen.